radio station. Sunny 1230 WXCO, Wausau.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. I'm Aaron Moret, along with Michael Moretton. This morning, we will be continuing on through our study of the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 4, and we'll be picking things up where we left off last week, which was in verse 27, and it is a good morning, and how are you doing this morning?
Good. Nice sunshine for a change, right?
Yep, that and yesterday was pretty nice outside.
And we're about to enter into the fastest half hour of the week, for me anyway. Time just flies by, so let's get right into it. John chapter 4, let's pray. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been looking at this situation for the last few weeks, I guess, with Jesus talking to a woman from Samaria at a well, and it was just him and her. The disciples had gone into town to buy food, and he had an appointment with this woman because she needed to hear the truth. And not appointment the way you and I make one, but he knew he had to be there. He knew she would be there, even though he had never met her before, because he's God. He knew these things. Anyway, he's been conversing with her, and she's about to come to the conclusion that he is the Messiah. And let's pick it up in verse 25 of John chapter 4, which reads, "The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I that speak to you am he.'" So he claimed to be the Messiah.
I have a quick question for you on verse 26, where he tells this woman, he says, "I am he." Why did Jesus in some places, such as here, just straight out and just plainly say, "I am the Messiah," where in other places he didn't do that?
Are you talking about like situations where he did a miracle, maybe, and then he told his disciples not to say anything about it?
Well, I guess things like that as well, but maybe more in situations like with the Pharisees, or even like when Jesus asked his disciples, he said to them, you know, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, and he never actually said it. I mean, maybe at some other point he did, but in that portion, he never actually said, "Yes, I am he."
Yeah.
He let them answer it.
He let them answer it,
yeah.
and Peter gave the correct answer.
Maybe a better example would be when John the Baptist sent his apostles over to Jesus and said to them, "Okay, go ask him if he is the one." Mm. And they did that, and Jesus' response to them was not, "Yes, I am," like it was to this woman right here. It was, "Well, go back and tell John what you heard."
Yeah,
or what you see. I'm just curious why in some instances like this one, he just flat out says, "Yes, that is me."
That is an excellent question, and I'll tell you why. It's because it gives me an opportunity to proclaim the importance of the Word of God. You use the example of John the Baptist. He sent his disciples to Jesus saying, "Are you the one who's to come? Are you the Messiah or not?" Because John was sitting in prison. He thought the kingdom of God was going to be, you know, ushered in and everything would be swell. You expect to be sitting in prison after Jesus came on the scene. And you're right. Jesus said to his disciples, to John's disciples, go back to John and tell him. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, and all these other things. And you know what he was doing? Instead of answering the question, "Yes, I'm the Messiah," he was saying, "Compare what I'm doing to the written scriptures, to the Word of God, and what it said the Messiah would do when he came on the scene, and you will have your answer." Jesus often did that. He, instead of answering a question in a straightforward manner, he always pointed people back to the written word of God. That's where he wants our faith to be in the written word of God. Get your answers from God's word. If God's word doesn't say it, then don't believe it. If God's word doesn't teach it, then don't believe it. Base all your beliefs, base all your teachings, base your faith on the written word of God. That's why he directed John's disciples to simply tell John what he had been doing, because John knew the Old Testament scriptures well enough, which predicted what the Messiah would do, to be able to put two and two together and realize that, yeah, the answer is yes, Jesus is the Messiah, based not simply on a yes from Jesus, but based on the written word of God. And that's the important thing. Get all your teaching and your faith, the things that you believe, from the word of God.
Did the Samaritan woman not have the word of God?
I don't know. She no, obviously she didn't. You know, they had that sort of half-breed religion. It was a mixture of paganism and Judaism, and who knows what God they worshipped. I don't know. But, you know, she obviously knew enough about the Word of God to know that there was a Messiah coming.
Mm-hmm.
How much more she knew, I don't know. But, yeah, you're right, because he just answered her in a straightforward way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That answers it.
Okay. That was a good question, though, because I was glad to talk about that. That's always important. Jesus said to her, "I that speak to you am he." And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seek you?" or "Why talk you with her?" The disciples returned, and they were surprised to see Jesus talking to a woman in public. And that was something that was not done in those days. The Bible doesn't say that it's wrong for a man to talk to a woman, but it was against social custom. Jesus did it because he didn't govern his life by social norms. He was governed by the Word of God. Social customs change. You know, social customs at times are even contrary to God's Word. And that's why I always say, stick to the Word of God. Do what Jesus did. He stuck to the Word of God. Govern your life by the Word of God. You'll be safe. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus."
And whether it was a custom or not, it may very well be a good thing that the disciples didn't say anything to this woman, because Jesus was finally getting through to her about who he is. And if the disciples came along and started to question what was happening, especially if it was against the customs of the day and it would not be acceptable, if the disciples came along and started to question what was happening, it could have ruined Christ's image to her. Not that Jesus could, not that Jesus would be at fault for that, but his disciples. So it's important for us to watch what we say. We should always think through things before we say anything. You know, pray about it, see what God wants us to do. Otherwise, we run the risk of making Jesus look foolish because of our own mouth, or we may run the risk of turning people away from him by what we say or how we act. As we are, as we're going to see coming up here in a minute, that this woman went back into town and brought other people to Jesus, so it's a good thing the disciples did not do anything to make her feel uncomfortable, anything that was not necessary, that, you know, they didn't need to say anything here. So it's a good thing, you know, I think, that they didn't. And the other thing, too, you know, that I just wanted to point out here really quick, you know, if you've mentioned a couple of times how this meeting with this woman, how Jesus, you know, you said just to start today, he had a meeting with her.
Mm-hmm.
I think the timing of his disciples coming back is very interesting, because Jesus had just got done telling her who he was, and she seemed like she finally got it, and then right then, his disciples came back. His disciples didn't come back too early. So timing, very important with God.
It is. I can't tell you how many times I've experienced that. You know, I will be reading the Bible, and I want to get through a particular book of the Bible before I go on and do anything else, and I'm reading it at home, and I'm going through it, and the moment I finish the last word of the book that I'm reading, the phone will ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of thing happens. God's timing is impeccable. It's great. And I think they trusted Jesus, too, and that's, that may be why they didn't question him. You know, they didn't question his morality of talking to this woman. And so that's important, too. They knew what Jesus well enough to trust that even if they didn't understand why he did certain things, they still trusted him, and they wouldn't question him. There may have been occasions, but for the most part, that's true, and that's a good lesson for us also, I think. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man. Now, notice this. She left her water pot, went into the city, and said to the men. It doesn't say that she went and told the women of the city about Jesus. So evidently, she didn't care about social customs either, because she went directly to the men. And that was a bit odd, you know, that she would go to the men instead of going to the women of the city. But it could be that the women didn't even associate with her. Because you remember last time, Jesus exposed her past, I guess you would say, the fact that she had already been married 5 times. She's had 5 different husbands, and the one that she has now, she's just living with a guy. Probably not real popular with the women of the town. So that could be why she went and talked to the men, which was rather unusual. But, you know, if you're the type of woman who flirts with someone else's husband or is even too familiar with someone else's husband, well, then don't be surprised if the wife doesn't like you, or if women in general maybe feel uncomfortable in your presence, because I wouldn't blame them at all.
And this woman, she just got done finding out that Jesus was the Messiah, as we just saw out in a few verses ago. And what sticks out to me here is, what was the first thing that she did? She went back and she started to tell people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you spend time with Jesus and you're open to truth, you'll get excited about him when you learn about him, and you'll want to let others know. You'll want to tell others. And, you know, thanks to this woman going back and telling others about Jesus, they will come, and people will be saved as a result of it.
Yeah. Yeah, her enthusiasm, and it really controlled her.
And I, you know, one of the things, too, like what you were just pointing out about how she went back and she talked to the men and not the women because maybe she was cut off from them, it's important to know how your actions will affect the rest of your life and even affect what you can do for God. If you make mistakes that you, or you do things that you shouldn't, you may limit yourself in the future as to how you can be used.
Can make things much more difficult. There's no doubt about that. Look at the Apostle Paul. He was killing Christians and throwing them in prison before he got saved. And it took a while for the apostles to accept him, to believe that he was really a Christian. And he had to overcome that.
And that must have been hard for him, too, because he knew that he really was.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see these people in the church who were not accepting of him, and for obvious reasons, they would be leery of him, but it had to be frustrating for him. But again, that's something that you would say he brought on himself, right?
Yeah. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And, well, it's true. You know, you will be forgiven if you come to Christ, as this woman, I think, if she didn't yet, she will. She came to Christ, she was forgiven, but she still had to live with the consequences of her past, and it can be a drag. Of course, God can turn those things around and use them for something good, too. It's something else about this woman here. She left her water pot. You know, getting water was not an easy task in those days. It had to be done every day. It was the job of the woman to do that, and it wasn't an easy thing to do. But she left her water pot and went to tell the men of the city about Jesus. And the water just didn't seem to be that meaningful to her now that she had met the Son of God. I mean, in the past, she never would have left the water pot, but you're talking about her enthusiasm and excitement for Jesus. You see a little bit of the outworking of that right here, and it just reminds me that knowing Christ makes everything else seem pretty small. You know, knowing Christ puts everything in its proper perspective. Nothing is more important than receiving Christ Nothing or no one is more important than drawing close to Christ through word and prayer, and she's displaying some of that right now.
And a lot of people leave things behind. I mean, you look at the disciples. What did they leave behind?
Oh, yeah.
They left behind their jobs.
Right.
They left behind their families. People today will have to leave behind things just as she did right here. And on the flip side, you remember the story of the rich man who did not want to leave his wealth, did not want to leave anything and follow Jesus. So you see a clear contrast between this woman, the apostles, the disciples, and those who were not willing to leave what they had previously had.
And it's not that you have to leave everything to become a Christian, but that needs to be your attitude. You know, you need to approach Christ when you get saved with the attitude that, Jesus, I'm putting you first. Whatever you want, just, you know, to the best of my knowledge, I'm dedicating myself to you, and I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior. And some people get upset about that. They call it lordship salvation. Well, the same Holy Spirit that convicts a person about their need for a Savior also convinces that person to make Jesus Christ their Lord as well as their Savior.
And if you are really saved and you're really excited like this woman is, I bet you didn't even think about it. I bet you didn't even think about leaving that water pot there.
No, it's natural, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if you're the apostles, unless you are that excited, you don't walk away from your jobs, your friends, and your family. You don't just leave them just in the snapping of a finger to follow Jesus. You may do it, but you're not going to do it that quickly unless you're excited.
And you're excited why? Because the Holy Spirit has convinced you, right? He's
right.
Convinced you of your need for Jesus. He's also put that in your heart that you want him, and you know you need him, and you know you want him, and you want to put him first. That's all a part of the salvation experience. Yeah, and you don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least, I'm not going to add to what you said. You already said it well. Verse 29. She said this to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Well, remember, Jesus told this woman about her past life with her many husbands, and that really impressed her because he never met her in person. And he could do that, of course, because he's God, and God knows everything about us. Knew every little thing about this woman. She said, "He told me everything that I knew." She knew that he knew everything about her. He proved that he knew that she had been married 5 times, so obviously he knows everything about her. And, of course, that's true with all of us. God knows every little detail about us, just as Jesus knew every little detail about this woman. And yet what's amazing is that he still loves us, just like Jesus, in spite of this woman's past, still loved and pursued her. So that's good to remember, I think, in spite of how we have behaved in the past and still do behave, actually, let's be honest. Jesus wants us to be his child, and he still wants us to be with him forever. He wants to save us from hell. He also wants to be in charge of our life so that he can help us live holy. But in spite of how we have been and still are sometimes, Jesus wants to be with us. He wants us just like he wanted the woman at the well. People don't go to hell because Jesus doesn't want them. People go to hell because they don't want Jesus.
And yet some people have the nerve to suggest that God is unfair because he would punish people.
You know, did you ever hear this one? How could a loving God send anyone to hell? You ever hear that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How can a loving God send to hell? I got a different question. How could a God of love force someone to be with him if they don't want to be with him? He wouldn't do that. He leaves it up to them. But people don't go to hell because Jesus doesn't want them. He's already said he wants everyone. People go to hell because they don't want Jesus.
Yeah, they want what they want and don't care what God wants.
Right. 30. Then they went out of the city and came to him. And the men of the city listened to what the woman at the well told them concerning Christ. And as a result, they came to check Christ out for themselves, which is an important thing. Every person should care enough about their soul to investigate Christ for themselves. If a person is so preoccupied with other things, whatever it may be, TV, movies, internet, making money, sports, so on and so forth, if they're so preoccupied with anything and everything that they don't take the time to see what God in His holy word has to say about heaven and hell and salvation, if they don't care enough to investigate that, well, then no wonder they go to hell. God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Most people don't even seek Jesus half-heartedly, let alone with all their heart. But there's no hope for anyone, really, who doesn't care enough about God or themselves to check and see what Jesus and the Word of God has to say about receiving forgiveness and avoiding hell. The Bible says everyone must carry their own load.
Especially when you're talking about being occupied by other things and thinking about other things and not taking the time to check into this, not to open up a Bible, not to think about Jesus, not to learn about Him. That reminds me of people in this country with not just God's Word, but with everything, but then they're missing out on the most important thing, God's Word. You know, people are so preoccupied with anything and everything, with the movies, with their TV shows, with sports, that, you know, there are people who don't know who our governor is. They don't know who the president of the United States is, nor do they care.
No.
Nor do they even less care about what the Bible has to say, because they're so occupied doing other things. And you know what happens to them? They get blindsided harder than anyone else, and they had never had a clue what hit them. And that's not just true for this. I know you and I have talked before about countries in the past who have, you know, gotten so big, and now they're going to get into whatever they want to get into, whether it's their culture, whether it's their sports. And guess what? Some other country marches in, takes them over. They never knew what hit them. They never even knew was there. It's the exact same thing with the Bible. They're going to get hit with it because they don't bother checking it out, and they're not even going to know what hit them.
Yeah. You took the word right out of my mouth. As you said it, I was thinking blindsided. That's it exactly. They're so preoccupied with anything and everything that eventually they'll get blindsided, because the truth does catch up with you. It's like a heat-seeking missile. It zeroes in on its target, in this case you, and it's going to pursue you until it catches up. It will, and then you're going to have to deal with it.
And they don't even know that the truth is coming after them, because, like you said, they're too preoccupied, and that's part of being blindsided. They don't even know.
Right.
That it's coming at them.
The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and you could add a million other things. Jesus said, he didn't say that part, I did. But they come in and they choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful, becomes irrelevant. And you look around. I mean, I'm grateful for technology on the one hand, because otherwise we wouldn't be proclaiming the word of God. And I've been proclaiming the word of God on television for, I don't know, 28 years now, 29 years. Radio, internet, oh, wonderful. And God is using all these venues to get out the word of God, so that's good. But I'll tell you something, for every one person that God uses, that Jesus uses to proclaim the truth to people, Satan has a million uses for technology, and one of them is to get people so preoccupied with their DVRs, with their internet, with their movies, with their, well, I better not say the companies. You know what I'm talking about, though. There's so many different things that can occupy a person's mind. You have so many forms of entertainment out there that you can choose from to keep yourself occupied, that you run out of minutes in a day. You don't, you just run out of time, and you're so full of whatever it is, these different things, that you certainly never take the time to investigate your immortal soul, where it's headed.
Yep.
Where'd we leave off? Verse 30? Verse 31. How much time we got left here?
We have about 3 minutes.
Till it's over, until...
You can talk for 3 minutes.
Okay. In the meanwhile, verse 31, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You know, the disciples brought supper from town, and now they want Jesus to enjoy it. That's reasonable. Perhaps I'm thinking that Jesus is the one who sent them into town to buy the food. So they buy food, they come back out, and he's not taking it. He's not eating. So he said, Jesus, here, eat some food. We went and got it. Sometimes we think we know what God wants. I mean, sometimes we specifically know what he wants, but many times we're mistaken. So they brought Jesus food, right? They brought him food. He probably is the one who sent them to get it. Eating food is very scriptural, nothing unbiblical about it, and yet he didn't eat any. At least at this time, he didn't eat any. Again, sometimes we think we know what God wants specifically, but many times we're mistaken. Sometimes we ask for things that are according to the Word of God. We see it right in Scripture, the principle, and we ask for it, but God doesn't give them. He doesn't answer yes. And we wonder why, because we say, it's in the Bible. I mean, it's so scriptural. It falls right in line with the Word of God. How come God's not answering this prayer yes? Well, the answer to that is because not everything that is in line with the Bible is God's specific will for us at this specific time. And I think that's important to realize so that we don't let that sort of thing, when we don't get something that is in line with the Word of God that we pray for, that we don't let that sort of thing cause us to stumble in our faith, because God never promised to give us everything that the Bible okays.
And looking at this verse from a little bit of a different angle, interesting how Jesus takes what is on people's minds and turns it into spiritual things. Okay, so these disciples earlier in the chapter, we saw that they went to buy food. Okay, now they return with the food, and naturally they want Jesus to eat it. So food is what they have on their mind right now.
Right.
Jesus is going to take that idea of food and relate it to them in a spiritual way. Just like he did with the woman earlier on in this chapter, her mind was on water.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus takes her thinking about water and turns it into something spiritual for her. And it just serves as a good lesson that you can take God's word and you can apply it to anything. You can find ways to come closer to him, even through normal everyday things, relate it back to God, and get closer to him through that. And it also kind of makes you think a little bit, which is something that God wants us to do. He doesn't just program us to know everything, but he wants us to think about some things.
Yeah, excellent point. Before we sign off, I just want to say quickly, if you're a listener out there and you have never repented and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do not put that off, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sin. He's the only Savior, the only way to heaven, and the only way you make him your Savior is for you to repent and simply say, Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior, take control of my life, and he'll do it. He'll do it. So if you've never done that, I encourage you to do that. And if you do that, please write us or phone us or email us and let us know. And Aaron will give you that address in a moment here.
Yep, and again, want to thank everyone for listening to us here this morning. Again, if you want to get a hold of us, you can write us, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's P.O. Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. You can also email versebyverse@live.com or give us a call, 715-845-8298, 715-845-8298. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated, and we will be back next week.